One of the things that stops small business owners from creating marketing content consistently is this feeling of being uninspired, of having no idea what to say in the first place. If you can relate to this, you are in good company. So many of us struggle with knowing what our marketing content should actually be about. But I am here to help. I have come up with 100 prompts that you can use to guide your marketing, from your social media posts to your emails to your longer form content. I guarantee that these prompts will get you inspired and that you'll have more ideas than you even know what to do with. You can download this list of 100 marketing prompts for free at makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. That's makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. Welcome back to Making Good, the podcast for small businesses who want to make a big impact. I'm your host, Lauren Tilden, and this is episode 206. I have a question for you, listener. How often do you think about networking? The term networking can feel extremely general, and the practice of going into a room full of strangers to try to make connections can definitely seem intimidating. We know it's a good thing for our businesses to be meeting new people and building new relationships, but figuring out the right way into networking situations can feel daunting. My guest today has found a lot of success growing her own business through networking, and I love her strategic and thoughtful approach to figuring out which rooms she wants to be in and how she can get the most impact from her limited time. Now, I record these episodes way before they actually come out, and since we did this recording, my guest today, Dani Sticca, has actually shifted directions and she no longer runs the business. However, that does not change how valuable this conversation is, so I wanted to be sure to bring it to you anyway. Dani Sticca is a former professional home organizer who believes in letting go of perfection and embracing a simpler life through home organization. During her own personal health journey and finding peace with less, Dani created Imperfectly Tidy to help others let go too. Whether you consider yourself an introvert or generally pretty outgoing, there is a lot to get out of my conversation with Dani. I know I came away from the interview with a lot of food for thought, and I'm sure that you will too. In this episode, we talked about the role of networking in business, how to find the right networking events that are focused on genuine relationship building, tips for meeting people when you arrive, how to cultivate quality relationships, how to turn a casual conversation at an event into a relationship, and much, much more. Now for my interview with Dani. Dani, welcome to Making Good.
Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about the story of how Imperfectly Tidy came to be. So tell us about why you started your business and what you do in your business.
So Imperfectly Tidy was born out of my experience with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which nobody's ever heard of, but you can Google it. In a nutshell, what GBS does is it causes temporary paralysis. It's a very rare thing. And everybody who goes through it, you basically are completely immobilized for months, and then you have to relearn how to do everything, relearn how to walk and how to get out of a chair and use your hands. And some people have to be intubated, and so then they have to go through speech therapy. It's this whole thing. And So I went through that in 2016. And leading up to that, my life was like an actual mess, like literally, and like my house was a mess, like it was just a mess. And when I came out of it and I started sort of trying to figure out, like, there's got to be a better way to live. Like, I don't really want to live like this anymore. I discovered minimalism, which I'm not a minimalist, but it definitely projected me into a much more just like minimal and simpler way of life, because I had never even considered the fact that I could not have a bunch of stuff. I just thought that's what you did. You have two kids and you live in a house and you just have a bunch of stuff and you just keep acquiring stuff. And it just never dawned on me that I could live a different way until I discovered minimalism. And so then I was like, okay, I'm going to be a minimalist. And it just became another thing for me to obsess over and not do right. And so then I was like, okay, I can't be minimalist. And I just wanted to clean things up. And so I went through the house, and it took me about 2 years to go through the house. And as I was doing it and simplifying things and slowing down my shopping and changing my habits, I realized this is really making a huge difference in my day to day. And it's really affecting our whole household in such a positive way. I was like, I want to help other people do this and have it not take them as long and not have to hit as many bumps and roadblocks that I did. And so that's where Imperfectly Tidy really came out of, was this idea that we want to have a tidy house. I mean, most people do, but trying to pursue this level of perfection was such a waste of time because it's just never going to happen. And just embracing an imperfectly tidy life is just embracing a tidy life for you and your family, something that all of you can maintain or and are comfortable in. And I just wanted to help other people do it. And so that's where Imperfectly Tidy came from. And I talk about it like she's an actual person. Like, I just love Imperfectly Tidy.
I mean, she is.
She really is. And so my day-to-day business is I'm a professional organizer, and I primarily help people who are getting ready to move. And so we do like a pre-pack. And we talk about like, what is your new place that you're going to be like? Let's leave some of the stuff that you don't want to take with you. Let's make sure we're taking the things that are really important to you. And then, you know, the other stuff that goes into it, like staging the home and all of that kind of stuff, helping you make the open house and the showing process a lot simpler also, because that can be a really stressful time in people's lives. And so I try to show them some ways that they can do it. So it's a little less stressful and a little bit more fun, just kind of guiding people through that. So that's my day-to-day business. And then I also have a podcast of the same name.
Yes. A fantastic podcast called Imperfectly Tidy. Go find it. I and this was not part of the plan today, but I want to just ask you one question about, you said like, you know, you went through this experience of illness and in recovery, like found minimalism and tried to figure out a way to basically live with less. And it, you found that it made a huge difference for you and those around you. Like, could you go into a little bit what that looked like to, like, what were the changes that you noticed? What felt different? What worked different as a result of that different, I guess, like a different relationship with stuff?
Yeah. So the biggest thing was realizing we didn't need as much stuff as I thought we did. So I have twins, and at the time that I discovered we could start letting go of stuff, they were 8. And I was like, they only wear probably 7 different shirts, honestly. Like, I don't need to have their closet jam-packed full of clothes when they're wearing like less than 10 different things. They don't need to have all of these shoes just in case, because I think that they should have them. All of a sudden, just my whole frame of mind just changed. I was like, wait a second, we don't need all of this stuff. I don't need to shop at Costco. It's not actually saving us any money. And coming home with 85 rolls of toilet paper is a nightmare, because the only time I felt good about the amount of toilet paper was had when we got down to like the final 4 rolls. And then I was like, oh good, now I finally have a place to put it. I was like, why do I keep doing this to myself? Like, this is insanity. And just realizing that just because everyone in the neighborhood, or that's how I had been doing it for all of these years, I didn't have to do it anymore. So like, I canceled our Costco membership. I went through my daughter's clothes and just, I got rid of everything that they weren't wearing. And I kind of asked them a few questions, but really I was like, they don't need 4 coats. They need 1 coat, because that's the only coat they're actually wearing. Same with my own clothing. I did a major purge of all my clothes. I did a huge purge through our kitchen. Like, we don't bake bread. We don't need a bread maker. We don't need an air fryer. There was just so many things that I was holding on to that we didn't need. And it was just that fear of, I don't know, the opposite of abundance, the lack mindset of
scarcity.
Yeah, scarcity. And just realizing that I didn't need to keep all of these things just in case. And if I didn't like them, I didn't have to keep them, even if they were a gift. And it took a little bit of time. And I did the final sweep. I want to say it was like winter time. I went up into our attic and I finally did like the final sweep of like the girls' sentimental things that I had been holding on to. And then a couple of years ago, I went through all of the stuff from elementary school and preschool that I had been holding on to and was like, go through this stuff. What is even in here? And as I was going through it, I threw away probably 90% of it. I was like, they're not going to want any of this. I don't want any of this. Why would they want any of this? And so I just did a pretty hard purge. Like I threw away my yearbook from my senior year. I'm like, I know one person in this yearbook. I don't. And like, we're still friends. Like, I don't need this yearbook. This is so weird. So I recycled it. And just realizing that I have the power to let things go. And I stopped any sort of like Amazon subscription that we were getting. And I just realized I'm going to let the store be my storage. And if I need something, I'm 5 minutes away from four different stores. Like, we're fine. I don't need to have a stockpile of everything in our house. And it's just really simplified things.
So, yeah, you talk about like having one code and sort of realizing you don't need the bread maker. What is the like impact that that has on your life?
Oh, man.
Other than like you don't have the stuff.
Well, not having the stuff is actually huge because I'm not managing it anymore. And I was thinking about the other day, I had come home and I had a ton of groceries to put away and there was room to put them away because I wait until we need groceries to buy groceries. So I try to keep us on a pretty steady rotation and I don't buy groceries until we need them. And so I get to the point where I'm like, okay, we don't have any meat and we don't have any veggies and we have no snacks. So now it's time to go grocery shopping. And so I just wait until we need things and not be afraid of not having something. It's also just, it's helped with feeling like that constant need of, oh, I need this and I want this and we should have this. Just getting out of that kind of rat race, for lack of a better term, and realizing we have more than everything we need. I mean, especially here in the States. I mean, I think to myself, I have a beautiful home that I get to come home to every single day. And we always have food in our fridge. Nobody's ever going to go hungry in this house. We always have clothes to wear that are adequate for this season. We're going to be cool or we're going to be warm. And just realizing that, and that those are the things that matter. Like, we have a warm shower every night. These are the things that just make me feel so grateful. And when I'm in that mindset of being grateful, there's really nothing else in the world that I feel the need to go out and buy. Especially like with Mother's Day, like literally coming up, my husband was like, I don't know what to get you, but we're going to the beach for the weekend. And I'm like, we're going to the beach for the weekend. Like, what more could I possibly ask for? But like a weekend with just me and my husband and my kids and my dog, like that's heaven. Like, what else? You know, I guess I could think of something, but what?
I love that. Okay. I took us totally off track, but I was just so interested hearing, because I don't think I've heard you tell that story the way that you just did. And it was very, I was like, oh, maybe I need less. I mean, I know I need less stuff. I need you to come up here, Danny, and help me with my stuff.
I want to come up to Seattle so bad.
It's happening. We're going to make it happen. So the main thing that I'm really excited to talk to you about today is networking. And this, I know, is something that, well, let me just say, it's not something that I really think about for my own business. It's something that I actually did a lot of in my, like, in the before days of corporate America. I ran innovation conferences where, like, the whole point was networking. So, like, it used to be a really big part of my world. It's not consciously the same way anymore, but I know it's been a huge part of how you've grown your business. And I think we can all learn a ton from that. So I just love first, before we kind of dig into the nuts and bolts of networking, like what has it looked like in terms of how it's contributed to growing, and like what has the role been in your own business of networking?
Yes. So networking is honestly how I just sort of launched my business. I, similar to you, my job prior to starting my own business and even like pre-kids, I was in the event industry. We did golf tournaments for like major corporations. And like one of them was a PGA tournament in Boise. And networking was a huge part of that. That was mm-hmm. how you got out there and you met people to host golf tournaments for. And so when I started Imperfectly Tidy, it just was a natural step for me. Like, oh, you go out and you network and you meet people. And it has just really helped me. It's grown my business. I've definitely met like clients and had business that way, but it's really grown my business as far as like strategic partnerships and people that I can collaborate with. Mm-hmm. And I've actually just met other fellow female business owners that we don't even do the same thing. And just having fellow women who are out there doing it and raising families that I can connect with in that way has also just been like really beneficial to my business, because it's just me. And so mm-hmm. it's nice to feel like I have coworkers in a sense.
Totally. So that's great. And I'm super excited to dig into that a little bit. For those who may not have like a clear idea in their head of what networking actually means, how would you mm-hmm. define networking?
I guess I would define networking as, I'm never good at definitions, but you know, you're going out there and you're letting people know who you are and what your business does and how your business can either support them. They could be your potential client, or could support their clients, if that makes any sense. So like mm-hmm. I work with real estate agents primarily and their clients. So like their clients are my clients, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So networking, the role of networking for you is like the more real estate agents you know and have relationships with, like you say, there's the community element, but also they're going to be able to refer you to.
Yes. And so it's a way for me to build my business by being at these networking events. And then it's also a way for me to build their business, because I'm in people's homes and I get questions all the time about painters and landscapers and interior designers. And I want to know those people and I want to have relationships with those people, because I'm going to refer them to somebody to do something in their home. I want to have a relationship with them. And I'm not going to do that through a Google search. That's going to take time and some mm-hmm. dedicated time at networking events, but then also dedicated time outside of those events that are just like the one-on-one.
So practically speaking, what does networking look like in your business? I know it's a lot of events. Is it all, do you think of it mostly as in-person stuff? Is it both? How do you approach that?
Right now, it's mostly in-person. I probably do at least 2 to 3 networking events per month. I'm part of a local chamber of commerce, so we meet every week. And then I'm part of a women's entrepreneur networking group that we meet a few times a month. And it is a lot of in-person right now. And they all look a little different as far as like what the events look like. So coming up, we have it's called a net walk. And so that's literally, we're like out walking and networking, which is really fun.
Yes, love.
I know. It's a wonderful, I love the whole concept. And then
a net walk.
Yes. It's
so good.
I love it. So good. And then we do like a coffee hour, which is, I think, what a lot of people think of a, like a networking. Mm-hmm. There's also like industry specific type networking. There's groups out there like called that you can pay a lot of money to join, like the BNIs and the LTIPs. I have only been a visitor in those types of networking groups, but it's just a matter of, you got to like get out there and just visit a bunch of them and see just like trying on shoes. Like what feels good? And like, you're going to spend a lot of time with these people. Like, are these people that mm-hmm. you really want to see every week, essentially?
Mm-hmm. So how do you figure that out? Like, how did you start identifying like the rooms that you wanted to be in? Were you looking mostly, because I know for you, a lot of the networking you do is not necessarily like in a room full of your potential clients. It's more like those partnerships, like you said. Mm-hmm. So how did you decide like what rooms do I want to be in of all the rooms in Portland that there are? Like how do I spend my limited time?
For me, I can get a sense of a group pretty quickly. So I want to be in a room where it's about collaboration and supporting each other and nobody's trying to sell me anything, because I'm not mm-hmm. trying to sell anybody anything and I don't want to be sold to. I want us to be able to support each other in a just a really natural way. And I can usually tell the environment of a room pretty quick, because if they want to sell to you, that's their first, like, you're getting that mm-hmm. sale, that hard sell right away. Mm-hmm. And that helps me to determine pretty quick, like, is this a room I want to be in or not? And so the two groups that I've really focused in on, immediately I realized these are about connection and collaboration. They're not about any type of selling to each other.
And how hard do you think about like, oh, are there people in this room who like are going to potentially buy from me? How much of a factor is that for you in figuring out where to spend your time?
When I first started networking, it actually wasn't a huge factor. For me, I really wanted to connect with other business owners because I had no idea what I was doing. And mm-hmm. I really wanted to have an opportunity to learn and see what other people were doing and what was working and what wasn't working for them. And now I'm at a point with my networking where it's a mix. I want to focus in on the groups where it's still about that like collaboration and learning from each other, but I've had to get a little bit more strategic about some of my time and getting in front of groups where I am going to get some business out of it, because networking takes a lot of time. And so as you get busier in your business, you have a little less time for networking. And so you really got to start making it count.
Yeah. That's what was kind of occurring to me, is like, how much time is too much time? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Of like, I guess the return isn't always clear, you know, when you're yes. networking with someone.
Yeah. And this is a constant conversation that me and a good friend of mine have, is, you know, we definitely want that ROI, and it's not a, what am I getting out of it? We just want to make sure that we're leaving the groups or the event energized and not depleted, and yeah. just really paying attention to the feelings post networking event. Like, how am I feeling? How did that go? Am I looking forward to going back? Do I need to take a break? Because I do think with networking, it's important to give yourself breaks. To think that mm-hmm. you can just go week in and week out through, you know, 52 weeks out of the year, it's really not feasible. So allowing yourself to take those like social breaks is really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I'm thinking about as I'm hearing you describe networking, which it sounds like, you know, signing up for events, showing up probably most of the time by yourself or you don't know anyone, like that is intimidating for possibly most people, but definitely a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, walking into a room where you don't know anyone, you don't have anyone to talk to. How do you do that? How do you walk in with, when you don't know a soul there? And I don't know, how do you conduct yourself? Like, mm-hmm. what if you're not normally the person that's going to go and start conversations? Like, how do you manage that?
That's a tough one. I am the exact opposite. I'll start a conversation with anybody. But I am always on the lookout for people who are walking into the room and appear to be new, because mm-hmm. I want to make sure that anyone walking, because it is so intimidating to walk into a room full of people that you don't know. Mm-hmm. Even if you walk into a room full of people you don't know and you just know one person, it's still like, oh my gosh, this is mm-hmm. stressful. So I would always say, look for the friendliest person in the room. Look for the person who is smiling the biggest, who seems to be motioning with their hands the most, and kind of just make a beeline towards that person, because more than likely that person's going to be really boisterous and say, "Hey, how are you? What's your name?" And it'll kind of get it going for you. That would be that's sort of what I do. I look for the person who's just the most boisterous in the room, and I just sort of make a beeline towards them.
Okay. So that's really good advice to kind of like identify that friendly face. And I guess another question that I have is, I've been to a lot of networking events where, like, you know, you're there for a couple hours. And again, this is mostly in the before days where, you know, you have a bunch of conversations, you meet people, but like, after, you know, and you might exchange business cards or something, but like after you leave, that's kind of like the last of it. So how do you take these conversations that you're having with people where you've met them for the first time, and how does that become something more substantial and meaningful?
So what I do is I get the business card and we've had a conversation. I don't ever want to cold contact anybody. So if I get a business card and we've had a conversation, I go home, and usually the next day I'll just send a quick little email saying, you know, it was really nice to meet you at such and such event. Looking forward to seeing you at the next one. And then if it feels appropriate, I'll go on to LinkedIn and I'll connect with them on there. And then I just make sure at the next event, I go up and say hi again and just start to, if it's a relationship I'd like to pursue, I just kind of make sure that I start to warm it up a little bit. And it takes time. It usually takes a few times of meeting up. And sometimes it doesn't go anywhere, but I just try to be kind of casual about it. And, you know, I try to remember things that we talked about and just say, it was really fun to talk to you about such and such thing, and have a great weekend or whatever it is, and just leave it at that. And it just sort of gets the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, we have a mutual friend, Kelly McLeod, and me and her met at a networking event, which is hilarious because we've literally lived in the same town for almost 20 years with children who are only 1 year apart, and we have mutual friends. So we met in a networking group of all places, not even in our town, which is craziness. And she's one of my closest friends now, but when we first met, it was at a network, and it was very, "Oh, hi, it's nice to meet you. Oh, I live in Sherwood too, da 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 da." And we're like, okay, we have that commonality. We have Sherwood. And then it just sort of grew from there. And a lot of times that's what's going to happen. And then sometimes nothing's going to happen. It's weird to say, but it's kind of like dating. You're just dating a lot of people.
Yeah. So not putting too much pressure on anything, just kind of like putting things out there. And
Yes.
And then once you feel like you've kind of like, I'm sure I'm making this extremely formulaic, but, you know, let's say you've been to a couple of networking events, like you feel like you've connected really well with someone. And again, this could be like the Seattle person in me, where we're like, you know, there's a thing called the Seattle freeze, where we're just known to be like socially a little bit tough. Like, it's not very common that people kind of bridge that casual acquaintance gap, I guess, and move from that to like, "Hey, do you want to hang out like one-on-one? Should we go to dinner together or lunch together or whatever?" So what is that? Again, I could be showing my bias of like, this is where I'm from, somewhere where this doesn't happen very easily, but what does it look like typically to kind of transition that relationship from like casual, we know each other's names and like we've had a couple of good conversations, to more of like a real relationship, like you just discussed with your friend Kelly, who I didn't know you had met at a networking event. And then now you're like actual real good friends.
I think it's your comfort level. And for Kelly and I, it just seemed natural. We were like, we should grab coffee. And then it just grew from there. But I have some other acquaintances through networking groups where we've gotten coffee once or twice, but the majority of our relationship just takes place at the regular networking event that we have every week, because you only have so much time like all of us only have so much time. And so sometimes it is just the one coffee to get to know each other a little bit more. But just like you don't become serious with everybody you date, you can't form a solid, like major friendship with every single person you meet at a networking group. And I think it's important to just remember that. And so I think if you've built a little bit of a relationship with somebody, it would be nice to take it outside of the group for a coffee so you can have a little bit more of a one-to-one. But it doesn't have to be more than that. You sat down, you got to know each other a little bit better, and then you have that camaraderie now at those events. And that can be enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's helpful to hear.
Yeah, because it's enough that, I mean, I just had coffee with somebody and I was able to learn more about, he's a chiropractor, and I learned more about his practice and kind of his philosophy. And so now I know more about him, more about his practice. And I know exactly who I will refer to his practice now because I know who will be a good fit. But we don't need to make another coffee date. Like, we know what we need to know about each other at this point.
So interesting.
I know it is.
About networking that, like, I don't know, any advice or things that have worked really well for you, do's, don'ts, anything else you want to share?
Lots of don'ts. You really don't sell to people. People know what you do. I tell people I'm a professional organizer and I specialize in helping people who move. So they know exactly who to refer me. If they're getting ready for a move and they want me to help them, they will ask. I don't have to sell myself to anybody. And nobody, I always think like, I don't want to be sold to. Like, oh my goodness, I know what you do. That's all I need to know. And I just think it's really important in all social settings, but especially networking groups, keep it casual. Talk about things that aren't just about your business. Get to know people. If they have kids, if they have families, take the opportunity to really get to know people. I know that I sort of get tired of talking about my business sometimes. I would like to talk about something else. So it's always nice when people ask me about other things. And yeah, I just, I think about that a lot as much as I've been networking. Like it's fun to talk about our businesses, but as you spend more time with people, just, you know, moving on to maybe like deeper conversations and deeper connections. There's so many different ways to network that aren't networking. And I just always try to keep that in mind. Like I think about the Chamber of Commerce that I'm a part of, the big event that we just wrapped up, a lot of the proceeds of that event go towards scholarships for high school seniors going into college or a trade school. And I think to myself, well, I'm thinking to myself, how can I get more involved in that? Because that definitely aligns with like my core values of supporting the next generation and especially supporting those kids who want to go into trade. I just, I want to be more part of that. And I wouldn't have even known about it if I wasn't a part of this networking group. So it really does open doors to other opportunities that really actually don't have anything to do with your business, but are just part of supporting your community as a whole.
Yeah. And I can see how, I guess, leaning into the things that you care about and that you have some kind of emotional connection to would be a great baseline for networking. Because if you're getting super involved in something you care a lot about, you're probably going to be doing that with other people who also care a lot about that. And then you automatically have something very strong and kind of deep in common. So I love that suggestion to like, think about what matters to you and lean into that.
Yes. I love that part of the Chamber of Commerce that I'm a part of. And it's been a fun little extra surprise that I actually wasn't expecting. I've been a part of this group for a year and I'm just really learning about those community aspects that I can get involved in. And I'm just really excited about them now and just feel like re-energized about the whole thing.
Yeah. And I would say like, I'm just kind of picking this up based on what you're saying. I am a big believer in like leaning into what we're excited about because I feel like enthusiasm is very contagious and like I'm at my best and most compelling, I know, as a person and like an educator of marketing when I'm talking about things I care about. And so I would imagine that putting yourself in rooms of groups of people where like the topic is something you're genuinely excited about. And, you know, it's not just like, oh, I should be at this networking event because I think it'd be good for my business, but like showing up places where what's on the agenda is like, sounds fun, sounds exciting, sounds interesting. Yes. I would imagine that we're going to be at our best there.
It's true. It's 100% true. The group of people that I just got done working with to do this particular event, I mean, everybody was just jazzed and it was fun and we were excited and you feed off of that energy. You really do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So fun. I want to transition to some of the questions that I get to ask all of the guests who come on my podcast. One of them is, how do you approach doing good through your small business?
I am always trying to find ways to do good through my business. Now that I've learned about this scholarship program, I'm trying to figure out a way that I can start putting money aside so that I can make a more significant contribution to that fund every year. So that's something that popped into my brain this weekend. I was like, how can I make that happen? And then when I'm in people's homes, I'm always trying to find ways that I can help. So here in Oregon, we have like the Oregon, the green bottle drop. And people always, like, it's a chore. It's like an extra thing that people have to go and do. And so many of us, like, they just, these green bags just like pile up in our houses. And anytime I go into somebody's house and I see a bunch of those green bags, I always say, can I take those for you? Because what's nice about it is it has their own little personalized QR code on them. So anybody can drop them off. Like, it doesn't matter who drops them off. Like, you get the credit. And so I love like when I see those green bags and saying, can I take those for you? And they're like,
oh my gosh,
yes.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I'm always looking for ways to help. And then I'm right now really trying to think about how I can help other women or men who want to get into the professional organizing business. I didn't have a lot of guidance when I first jumped in. And so I'd like to be a mentor to other people who would like to get into a similar industry or the same industry and just sort of help them along the way, just as a, as a guide and as a mentor. So that's something I've been thinking about too.
Yeah. So many of the things you just said are such great reminders of like, there's no one right way to make an impact through your business. I love the example of like mentoring other people who want to get into the business. I love just like the small, but like actually very meaningful thing of offering to take people's bags to the depot or wherever they're dropped off at. Yeah, there's just almost every situation has an opportunity in it. And I love that you are looking for those.
Yeah.
What would be a book that you would recommend?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I thought about this and I really want to recommend the book I just actually talked about on my own podcast. It's called 24/6 by Tiffany Schlain. And she practices a tech Shabbat every week with her and her family. It's an amazing book. I read it right before the pandemic. And then I've now read it post-pandemic. It's so good. And it can really help anybody who is really struggling with technology and the constantness of technology and being on technology and feeling like you need a break. And what can that look like? And yeah, I can go off of social media for a little while, but then I eventually have to go back. And it's just a way to incorporate it into your life that's a little bit more steady. And I just, it's a really great read. I really recommend it.
I've never heard of this. I'm very excited.
It's very good.
24/6. Okay. Mm-hmm. That will be linked in the show notes for sure. Good. What is a small business that you admire?
So this is an easy one for me. My very good friend is a chef and she owns a restaurant actually here in Sherwood called Fat Milo's Family Kitchen. And she is just an absolutely incredible business owner. The way she treats her staff and the way she runs her business, I just have so much admiration and respect for. She is all about inclusivity and loving everybody and including everybody. And she's a huge just activist and supporter. She inspires me every day. She's amazing. And her food, my daughters always tease me because I'll go to a restaurant and they'll say, oh, how was it? And I'll say, oh, it was pretty good, but it wasn't as good as Rachel's. And they're like, you can't compare everything to Rachel's. And I'm like, yes, I can when it's the best.
Amazing.
Yes. If you're ever in Sherwood, Oregon, you have to go to Fat Milo's.
Yeah, I was just going to say I have a new bucket list Oregon restaurant, and that will be linked in the show notes for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your podcast, first of all. Like, what is it about? Who's it a good fit for? How can people find it? And then how can everyone connect with you and chat with you, get to know more about your work?
Okay, so I love my podcast. It's like my little baby. I just released the 19th episode today, which is so exciting. I'm almost to 20. And I love it. I love it. I love it. It's basically about embracing a simpler life. And so we talk about like the physical stuff. And then we talk about like stuff on your calendar and society, just all of that sort of thing. You can find it really anywhere that you listen to podcasts. It's on all of them. And then you can connect with me. I'm on Instagram at Imperfectly Tidy. And then I'm also on LinkedIn, which isn't as exciting, but I like LinkedIn. And then my website is imperfectlytidy.com. And that's basically where you can kind of find everything. I have some fun resources on there also that is sort of nice, like some donate and recycle guides. And I have a garage sale guide and just some different guides that there's a lot of DIYers out there. And so I like to provide some practical steps for those people.
Yeah. And your email list is also a great place to be. I know as a personally, I'm a subscriber of Dani's email list. So she shares some great stuff there as well.
Yeah.
Dani, thank you so much for bringing this topic to me. I think it's something that people are going to get a lot from. It's definitely made me think about like, how could I be a little bit more intentional about like the rooms that I'm putting myself in physically, not just like online. So really appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you giving me the space to talk about it.
Yeah. Amazing. Thanks, Dani.
Thank you.
Okay. Is anyone else feeling motivated to get out there and mingle? I love Dani's point about finding the networking scenarios that feel right for you and not wasting time in spaces that aren't serving your goals. Get more details from this episode at makinggoodpodcast.com/206. If you enjoyed this episode, I would be so grateful to have your support. Here are a couple of ways that you can give back to Making Good. First, let's connect on Instagram. Take a screenshot of your podcast player as you're listening and tag me at Lauren Tilden. Second, I would be so honored if you'd leave a rating and review of Making Good in your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to subscribe and follow. And finally, if you have a friend that you think would enjoy the podcast, send them the link. Today's episode can be found at makinggoodpodcast.com/206. This episode was produced and edited by Corinne Monaco of Just Peachy Illustration. Thank you for being here and for focusing on making a difference with your small business. Talk to you next time.